Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you so very, very much. You must have been around the church for a few years. Good for you. Thank you, choir. Wonderful. We bless you. Thank you so very, very much. I want to talk to you tonight about prayer. What the Assemblies of God needs more than anything is prayer. Not many of you believe that, but that's true. We are blessed, 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 blessed with resources. Brother Garrison, I was in that gathering there in Palm Springs when $8 million plus was pledged. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. The giving of this church will, in all probability, set another record for the year 2003, when many and most faith ministries and denominations have seen a significant downturn. Well, I wouldn't expect that in a Pentecostal church. You see, as you look at the early church, what made the early church effective were three things. They were a people of the Word, they were a people of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Come on. I said they were a people of the Holy Spirit. I've been reading again the book of Acts. I could live there. And that's where we as a church need to live, in the book of Acts. And they were a people of prayer. Read it there. And if we as a fellowship expect to have what they enjoyed, the power of God, and the signs and wonders and the supernatural. Because let me remind you of something. That will only come as a result of prayer. And I'm afraid that we are too comfortable without it today. I'm talking about the supernatural, without the miraculous, without the wonders that God intended for the church to have in 2004. And if we, the Pentecostal church, don't enjoy it and know of it, who's going to? You're not going to find it in the evangelical church. It's not going to happen. And God raised us up to be a church of the supernatural and of the miraculous. But it's going to come at a price. I said it's going to come at a price. You see, I'm convinced that the devil doesn't care how much resource we have. I'm convinced he doesn't care how much of material things we have. I'm convinced he doesn't care how much program we have and how articulate we become in doing church. But if he can keep this church from praying, he's got us on the run. And we won't amount to that much when it comes to invading the powers of darkness and the forces of hell. We must pray. We must pray. We must fast and pray. You must be a person of prayer. Don't talk about prayer to your congregation if you don't pray. Don't delegate prayer to some associate. You got to lead the prayer. You will see more, you hear me, Pastor, you will see more accomplished. You'll see more accomplished in that church if you will lead that church in a fervent, earnest prayer emphasis. Because what happens is that you enlist God, and God comes on the scene, and God rolls back the powers of darkness. God brings the victory. God brings the wonders and the supernatural. For he's always responded to prayer. God's given me a message 2.5 months ago for this meeting. So I come to you thrilled in my soul. I'm not bringing you a sermon. I want to bring you a message. In the Word of God, we have what we is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. The disciples were desirous of knowing how to pray. That was significant, and it is significant. May we be desirous. Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray effectively, so that we're not just repetitious, so that we're not going through a form. I believe it's in the heart of every believer that, Lord, I when I pray, I want to know that I have an audience with God the Father, and that you have bent your ear to my cry and to my prayer. Amen. You can know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. You must know that. Because I'm going to tell you, there will come times in your life and in your ministry that if you haven't discovered that prior to, you're going to need to discover that. Because when the heavens seem like brass, and when all hell turns loose the forces of darkness against you, you need to be able to say, I know that I know that I've touched God through this matter of prayer. Hallelujah. You can come out of there with a confidence and an assurance and a God-given faith that takes hold of the promises of God, and you can stand in the face of adversity, and there will be those who will say, how can he or she do it? Well, it isn't you, it's God in you as a result that you have prayed. Hallelujah. And God has come to your aid and come to your assistance. So the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And it really became the disciples' prayer in Luke's gospel. The Lord's Prayer is found in John's gospel, chapter 17. It's a marvelous discourse. And don't read it now, but read it sometime soon. Read it again and again, because it's Jesus' prayer for us, for you and for me. Lord, keep them. Keep them. I must tell you, brethren, we need to be kept by the power of God today. The devil has unleashed all the forces of darkness against you. He wants in his worst way to trip you up. He wants to dash you against the rocks. And you need to pray, Lord, keep me by your power and by your might. And Jesus prayed that prayer. Lord, keep them that thou hast given me through thy name. Well, the early church, and I want us to go there. The early church, as I said to you a moment ago, was a praying church. Let me just take you for a few moments. Let's begin with the first book of Acts. And you will see it there in verse number 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Verse 24 of that first chapter. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Would do us well to pray that way. Come on. I said it would do us, it would do the church well to pray. Lord, who hast thou chosen to serve in the office of deacon? We go into business meetings without any thought given to prayer. No wonder we end up in trouble so oftentimes. The early church prayed, Lord, show us. Now let me tell you something. When we pray, we obligate, when we petition God, when we ask of God, we obligate God to show us if we want to know. You see, chapter 2, the scripture says that, verse 42, and they continued, look at there please, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and a breaking of bread, and in a prayers. You see, it isn't how we as a church have started out, it's how we're going to finish this whole thing. 90 years ago, over here in Hot Springs, Arkansas, it was known as a praying church. Brother Bridges, Kermit Bridges, said that they gathered for 3 days to take time to wait upon God. Can you imagine what would happen if we as a fellowship would take time to wait upon God and say, God, show us your purpose and your plan? But you see, we've learned to do church. I know how to do it. I know how to conduct it. I know what turns people on. I know what people want to hear. But what does God want to hear? What is God? What's God's agenda for the church today? That's what becomes important, you see. And it is only going to be determined and found out through prayer. And the early church was this praying group. Look with me, please, in chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together at the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Chapter 4, I'll come back to that. Chapter 5, look at it please, in verse 42, it's there we find the scripture says this, and daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. This was their lifestyle. I'm afraid that our lifestyle within the church today has left this matter of prayer out. I said to someone in the headquarters the other day in the hallway, I said, I'm concerned because I don't see times in the altar any longer within the local church. Oh, I understand that we need to pray for people and we invite them to come, and I'm a supporter of that. I believe in that. But let me tell you, there has to be a time of prayer around the altar. If you go to the Old Testament, the altar was the centerpiece of the temple. It was the centerpiece of the worship. And brother, when we no longer keep the fire burning upon the altar, and when we no longer tend to the altar of the church through this matter of prayer, I can assure you there's going to be carnality within the church. Well, Brother Trask, that's old-fashioned. Well, let me just tell you something. It's going to take old-fashioned praying to have old-fashioned results. Because God hasn't changed, we have changed, and I believe in change. You know that, and we're committed to that. We're involved in this whole thing. But it must not ever take the place of that which is the priority, and that we as individuals, we become a person and are a person of prayer, and that we lead the church in prayer. I can assure you, brother, there isn't a power of darkness strong enough that is able to stand against the powers of God when God comes on the scene, when the church begins to pray. God will work. There isn't an Assembly of God church across America that cannot and will not experience a divine move of the Holy Spirit, but it's going to be prayed through and prayed down. It's not going to come as a result of hoping and wishing or reading somebody's book. It's got to come from the book, and the Spirit's got to drop it into your spirit, man, you see. Look with me further, please, at chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. We've become so good that we become CEOs and administrators running multi-million dollar corporations, but weak when it comes to this matter of prayer. We will give ourselves continually. It isn't any wonder that the early church left such an indelible mark upon their world, because they were people of prayer. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Go with me to verse 6 of that same chapter. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great, listen to this, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. I conducted a 6 o'clock Sunday morning prayer meeting in that great church of Metropolitan Detroit. And I had Sister Jane. She was the head of the ministry for the largest Roman Catholic hospital in Metropolitan Detroit. Sister Jane came to that 6 o'clock Sunday morning prayer meeting all the years that she was there and I was there as pastor. And she brought all these nuns with their habits. And I said to Sister Jane one Sunday, I said, Sister Jane, when you sign out from the convent, because they had to sign out, I said, where do you tell them you're going? And she said, Brother Trask, she called me pastor. She said, Pastor, I write down Brightmoor Tabernacle. And I said, how long are they going to put up with this? She said, it doesn't really matter. She said, I want these nuns that are under my care and my leadership, I want them to capture what is happening in this church. And then she said, I say to them, when you go back to the hospital and you go into these rooms, and I want you to lay hands on these people. Yes. And I want you to believe that God is going to answer prayer. Now, she didn't say, I want you to indoctrinate them in the assemblies of God. What good's that going to do? But I want you to lay hands on them and pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, after about 2.5 years, she came to me one Sunday morning. She said, Pastor, she said, I'm getting a transfer. She was crying. I said, Sister Jane, it's okay. She said, but they're sending me to Nashville. I said, it's okay. God's in Nashville. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will be in Nashville. You're going to take the Holy Ghost with you, Sister Jane. You see. But prayer is what moves the hand of God. I said, prayer moves the hand of God. Look with me further, please. We will give ourselves continually to prayer. Look with me at chapter 7, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen. What was he doing? He was praying, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, me, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Doesn't say that at all. Kneeled down and he said, cry to the Lord voice, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Brother, that'll put you in another dimension. Look with me at chapter 8, verse 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. How long has it been since you've prayed for someone? I was preaching in one of our churches about 4 weeks ago on a Sunday morning. I didn't preach on the Holy Spirit, but when God works and when the atmosphere of the church is full of the Spirit of God, you can expect anything to happen. I said, when God's Spirit is there, you can expect the miraculous to happen. Well, a gentleman came up to me. He must have been in his late 50s, maybe early 60s. And we were praying for people around the altar that Sunday morning. And he came up to me and said, Brother Trask, would you pray for me that I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, I'd be happy to. I left, the pastor came to me at 1 o'clock on Sunday morning. He said, Brother Trask, we got to go to the restaurant. The restaurant is called. If we don't get there, we're going to lose our reservation. And when I left at 1 o'clock on Sunday morning, this man, still under the power of God, laying on the floor, speaking in tongues, his wife was holding his hand, and here's what she was saying, Honey, honey, we got company coming for dinner. He couldn't have cared less. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever he got up from that experience, you're not going to have to ask him, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the physical initial evidence of speaking in other tongues? He knew for a fact God had supernaturally filled him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm talking about what makes this thing work. It's the work of the Spirit. It's work of through the power of prayer. Look with me, please, further at this chapter 8 and verse number 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. As yet he was fallen upon none of them, all they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them. We are commanded, hear me carefully, we are commanded to lay hands on people. You're not the baptizer, you're not the healer, I'm not the baptizer, I'm not the healer, but we have been given instruction by the Word of God, we are to lay hands on them. And may we as a church never move away from that, to lay hands on people and to pray and believe that God divinely is going to accomplish His purpose in their hearts and their lives. And they receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not surprised. Look at the chapter 9. I'm going to get to my message. I'm not there yet. I'm just walking you through some of this. Chapter 9, verse number 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Here he was praying. And God said, you'll find him. And when you find him, you'll know you found him because he was praying. Now let me tell you something. You're not going to have to tell people if you pray. I said, you're not going to have to tell people if you pray. They will know if you pray. And they will know if you don't pray. Chapter 11. Well, let's go to chapter 10 first. And a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the Lord and prayed. And now remember something. Cornelius was not even a believer at this juncture. He was not even a Christian in chapter 10 of the book of Acts. Scripture tells us that. But he said, the scripture says, and he prayed to God always. But those prayers came as an incense before God. And God took note of the heart of Cornelius, even though he was not knowledgeable as to what needed to happen in his life. The Spirit of God brought about that happening so that the revelation of who Jesus was came to him. Let me go further, please. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 5. I was in the city of Joppa praying, Peter's speaking here, and in a trance I saw a vision. Let me tell you something. there are so many wonderful truths that God will reveal to you and give you insight into through prayer. The Spirit of God will open your intellect and open your mind and open your capabilities beyond your own faculties and beyond your own learning as a result of you praying and the Spirit of God coming upon you. Some of you are looking at me as if I'm talking strange. We used to believe that in this church. I said, that we used to live by that. We were directed by that. We knew that God sovereignly, God divinely, God supernaturally brought about a revelation to our hearts and our lives. And we were able to move with a confidence and an assurance and a faith that only God could give. Has to be, you see. Well, let me hurry along. Chapter 11. I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance and saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it were, a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. Chapter 12, verse 5. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Let me tell you something. I'm convinced that we accept a lot of defeat that God never intended for the church to accept. Simply because we haven't been willing to pay the price of praying until we've prayed through the matter. Come on. Until we've prayed through the matter. Prayer is work. I said, prayer, you will go to sleep quicker praying than any time in your life. It's true. You know why? Because the enemy will do everything in its power to keep you from praying, because you will become a man of God and a person of God and a person of prayer and a person with power with God as you pray. So he's going to do everything in his power to keep you from doing that. And if you yield to that, you'll be powerless. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him. Verse 12 of that same 12th chapter. Look at it, please. And when they considered that, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They were praying. Now, I understand. They weren't praying with knowledge, but they were praying. Here, the Lord had delivered Peter by the angel, and they're still in the prayer meeting praying, oh God, deliver him. And then when the little damsel, Rhoda, comes to them and says, he's outside, they said, you're flaky, he's not outside. That's the way we pray many times. We pray, and then when God answers, isn't it surprising that God answered prayer? You see. That's where Peter headed for the prayer meeting when he got out of prison. Let me ask you a question. Is your church known in your community as a house of prayer? Is it? Is it known in your community as that First Assembly? There's no Second Assembly, so First Assembly of God. Is it known as a house of prayer? Is it known that if there is trouble, they can come to you and you'll be a praying people? I had a businessman that was began to worship with us on occasion there at Brightmoor Tabernacle. And he was a big shot in one of the corporations. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Trask, he said, I'd love to worship with you on a regular basis, but you know that my job requires me to be associated with this. And then he named the church. It's a church of stately stature. It's been in the community for years. I said, I understand that. Go ahead. Well, he went to have his physical taken, and in the course of his physical, the doctor discovers he's got cancer. He doesn't leave the doctor's office. He calls my church office and says to the secretary, "I must speak to Pastor Trent now, now." She said, "Well, and it happened to be that I conducted a Tuesday noon prayer meeting. Every Tuesday, all the years I was there, was our day of fasting. And I was in the sanctuary with the group, and we were there fasting and praying." And she said, "I'm sorry, he's in the sanctuary praying. I must see him now." And she said, "Well, if you must see him now, you're going to have to see him in the prayer meeting." He said, "I'm going to be right over there." I'll never forget it. I was sitting in the front row of the sanctuary set. 2,800 people, and he come bounding in this dignified business suit of his, and he said, "Pray for me, pray for me." He said, "The doctor just said I got cancer, and I've been given 6 months to live." I said, "Sit down." I said, "We're going to pray." Now, I must tell you, there's something in the sovereignty of God I don't understand. If I was God, I don't know as I'd healed him. No, I'm serious. There's many wonderful saints that have lived godly in Christ Jesus and served Jesus. I just called one yesterday from our former pastor in Saginaw, Wayne Fredrickson. He was a one of those wonderful deacons, just a servant of God. He was a man of Christian character. And at an early age of 68, Marge's dear wife will lay him to rest tomorrow as a result of Lou Gehrig's disease. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. But I said to him, "We're going to pray for you. To do what he wants to do," you say. But we mustn't be known as a people of prayer. And your church must be known. Well, now let me go back. And I'm not going to go any further. There's more in these chapters. But go back with me now to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Because here's where I want to come to. And I've taken all this time, and you forgive me. That's okay. The church, early church, was under persecution. Brother Bridges will go to Italy this spring and preach the General Council again for them. I've been there preaching. They're wonderful people. They're fun to preach to. But Francisco Toppi, the General Superintendent for the Italian Church, said this to me. They have over 1,000 Assembly of God churches in Italy, some right under the shadow of the Vatican. His church is one of those great Pentecostal Assembly of God churches. But here's what he said to me. He said, "The growth of the Italian church, Assemblies of God, has come as a result of persecution. Now we've been accepted by the government, the Italian government." And he said, "The fear I have is this, that the persecution will stop and we will become at ease." You think of that. The early church was under persecution. And I pick up now with verse number 23 of the fourth chapter. "And being let go, they went to their own company." Where would you go? Come on. Where would you go? Let me tell you something. When the crisis comes, and they're going to come, you're going to have them. I'm going to have them. We're going to have them. As sure as we live, we're going to have crisis. When the crisis comes, where are you going to go? Amen. What are you going to do? We got people in the church today throw up their hands in despair. Let me tell you, in the early church, when the crisis came, they went to those of their own company. They found those who know how to pray, those that know how to stand, those who know how to believe, those who know how to call upon God. Hallelujah. May we in the Assemblies of God be known as a church that know how to pray. May we be known as a people of intercessory prayer. May we be known as a people that know how to pray in the Holy Ghost, as he spoke about there in the book of Jude, praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't hear that today. And no wonder the church is powerless. I said, no wonder the church is powerless. There's no magic to this thing, brethren. Let me tell you something. The victories that have been won in days past, you hear me, the victories that have been won in days past is a result that somebody prayed until God rent the heavens and opened the windows of heaven. And it's going to happen again if we'll pray, if we'll call upon God. And they, being let go, went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, now watch this, please. They lifted up their voice. They didn't hunker down. I said, they didn't hunker down. They weren't running with their tail between their legs. They lifted up their voice with one accord. And let me show you what happened here. And they said, Thou art God. Hallelujah. That's the first thing that has to happen. You got to know that you know that you know that God is God. Well, Brother Trask, we don't want to scare anybody away. Where are you going to scare them to? Second hell? Third hell? Come on. We've become so mushy and so powerless. It's no wonder there are those who look at us and say, what has happened to you? At one time you were able to say, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now we have the silver and gold, and we'll give you the silver and gold. We got coffers full of this stuff. But where's the power? Come on, church. Where's the power of God? The purpose for which God brought us about. Thou art God. Hallelujah. Whew, that when I was studying this, this got into my spirit. Thou art God. For with God, all things are possible. Not some things. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. You got to believe that. But that's not going to come out of a funny book someplace. That's going to come out of an experience that you've had with God in a secret place. You've shut yourself away with God, and God divinely and supernaturally has come to you and has made known unto you, I'm God of this situation. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you don't know where to turn, we turn to Him. Hallelujah. And we say, Lord, Thou art God. Thou art God. Thou, say it with me. Thou art God. Do you understand that? That's not out of your intellect. That's out of your spirit, man. You see, we got people that can mouth this thing. But, I mean, they are a million miles from the reality of it, you see. And that's why when the crisis comes, they don't know what to do. But you can go from the Old Testament right on through to the end of the New Testament, and you will see again and again, whether it be the three Hebrew children, whether it be Daniel, whether it be Joseph, whoever it might have been, whether it be Saul, whether it be Peter, you name them, whenever it came, the crisis, they knew that God was God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is still on the throne, church. God is still answering prayer. God is still attentive to the cry of His people. God's attention can be gotten again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is God. Look at the second thing, please. Thou art God. That's who you are. The second is what you've done, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Hallelujah. Rich Haber, our legal counsel, he is an astronomer.
studies astronomy. Called me up the other day and he said, "Brother Trask, come over." It's about 10 o'clock at night. He's got the largest telescope in Missouri. Wheels it out of his garage, this big monstrosity. He said, "Look here." He said, look. Look into the heavens. It was marvelous. I saw things I had never seen before. The handiwork of God. And yet, just a little snapshot. Thou art God, which has made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that and there is. No wonder that great gospel singer said, "He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands." That's who he is. That's who he is on this night of this prayer and Bible conference. He has not diminished. His power has not diminished. He's still God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this whole thing is running according to his schedule. Yes. Glory to God. You should get on your feet and shout a little bit. Well, we're not used to that. Well, get used to it. That's who God is. That's the God we serve. Come on. I said, that's the God we serve. You want to put your God in a little box someplace? You want to shrivel him up so that he's not able to take care of the problems? Go ahead. But the God that I serve and the God you serve, he made this whole thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's who he is. Thou art God. Brother, I'm in the early church. May we learn some lessons from this bunch. Thou art God. Thou hast made the heavens. What time? Hold on. Thirdly, look at it, please. Look at it, please. Who you are, what you did, and what you said. Here it is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage? And why did the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Let me tell you, there's that crowd yet today. I said, there's that crowd today. They hate our Christ. They hate our gospel. We got a liberal element in America that would love nothing more than to run us into the sea. I got news for them. It's our God. Hallelujah. God rules in the affairs of men. God puts up whom he will and sets down whom he will. May you never forget it, and may I never forget it. He's in control. Here's what he said. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For, listen to this now. Verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined for to be done. Did you see that? Did you read that? You understand what he's saying? Let me read it for you again. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, against whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand, God's hand, and thy counsel determined before to be done. He said that they are just carrying out what you ordained for them to carry out, Lord. He's God. I said, he's God. And now, Lord, would you behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants a place where we can hide, because we're scared to death for our life. No, not this church. Come on, not this church. They're not going to back up. They're not going to step back. They're going to step out here in the front lines because they know who God is. They know what God has done. They know what God has said. Hallelujah. And he said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Yea, I am with thee always, even to the end of the world. That's his word. That's his promise to us, you see. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness. I thought they were bold. I thought this bunch was very bold. But grant unto thy servants that we may speak thy word with boldness. Now look at this, please. And by stretching forth thine hand to heal. If you study the book of Acts, the miraculous was a very integral part of the very life of that early church. It was part of the nap and fiber of the early church. It should be a part of the nap and fiber of our church today. The miraculous, the supernatural. It shouldn't be the exception. It should be the commonplace. Happening. Why? Because God's in the place. The Spirit of the Lord's in the place. Faith is alive. The Holy Ghost is there. And God is present to deliver and to heal and to restore and to set free, to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But we've made it the exception when it needs to be the commonplace, you see. That signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I don't know how much more simpler to make it. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. Can I say to you, you can shake your city. You can shake your community. You can shake that church. You say, Brother Travis, you don't know what I'm involved in. It doesn't matter that I know. What matters is that God knows. Because he's the one that's able to do the shaking, you say. And when you have to stand in faith to believe, Lord, you hear and answer prayer. Shirley went for her physical some weeks ago. And annual. And upon the examination, the doctor said to her, Mrs. Trask, we've discovered something that does not look good. And we must take further exam, of which they did. And they came back to her that same day and said, it is not good. Well, the first thing that happens is the enemy pounces on you with fear. You know what I'm talking about. And she calls me at the office and she said, can you talk? And I said, honey, I'm in a board meeting that's ongoing. I said, I'll call you back as soon as I get out. So I did. She was crying. She said, they have discovered something that they're fearful of. And I'm scared, honey. Well, I said, honey, I said, we're going to pray. What else? What else would you want to do? Let me say something. Either we believe in this thing or we don't believe in it. And we prayed, and I said, I'll be home. They said, we want you to come back on Thursday. This was on Tuesday. We want you to come back on Thursday because we must have more exams and we must prepare you. Those were two of the longest days of her life in our home. And the devil just jumped all over us and said, you've preached this thing, but now what do? And that morning, Thursday morning, I said to her, honey, I said, before I leave, let's join hands. We're going to pray. And the scripture says, if two shall agree touching any one thing, it shall be done. Now, you can rationalize it all you want, but I choose to just believe the simplicity of that. If you believe, it shall be done. So we prayed, and the power of God came into that kitchen. How many know what I'm talking about? I said, the power of God came into that kitchen, and the Spirit of the Lord came over us. Well, I went off to the office, and she went, made her way to the doctor's office. And they started this third round of exams with Shirley. And after this taking place for about an hour and a half, and they finished her, and they said, if you just go sit in the waiting room. And she waited and waited, and it waited. I don't know if that's intentional by their, on their part or not, but it doesn't matter. Thank God for doctors. And the longer she sat there and waited, the more she was, the enemy said, the news they're going to bring you is bad. That's what's taken so long. But we, and she said, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came upon her, sitting in that waiting room. And she began to rebuke that spirit of fear. About an hour and a half later, the doctor came out and said to her, Mrs. Trask, we don't know what's taking place. But we cannot find what we found on Tuesday. It's just not there. Well, you can imagine the joy and the delight that filled our home for God's answer to prayer. I don't know, brethren, about you, but I stand here before you tonight. If there's ever a day that this church needs prayer, it's today. If there's ever a time that we need to be a people of prayer, it's today. We are absolutely no match for the enemy. I don't care how well we've learned to do church. I don't care how skilled we've become. I don't care how, what kind of resources we have. There's only going to be the church that prays will move under the umbrella and the canopy of God's power. And the same thing will happen. Look at it, please. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they ask? What do you remember what they asked for, Lord? Grant unto thy servants that we may speak thy word with boldness. And it says there, and they speak the word of God with boldness. Let me just close with this, and you forgive me for being so long, but it's going to be another long time. Go back with me to the book of Psalms. I was over here in Psalms the other day, and this got into my spirit. Chapter 28. Look, David, he was one of these models that you want to follow. Look at here, please. Verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with song I will praise him. Look at that place. Chapter 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Look at chapter 32, verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Did you read that? Let me read that for you again. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance. Oh, I got to stop. I'm talking about this matter of prayer. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that God is in the prayer answering business. I said, God is in the prayer answering business. You don't have to make that a matter of prayer. If we'll pray, God will answer prayer. I'm going to close this service tonight with an opportunity to pray for you, one another. I want you to stand with me. Please stand with me. There are those of you who have come into this prayer and Bible conference that you say, Brother Trask, I am so battle weary that I can hardly stand in my feet. I've been there. I must tell you, I came to this holiday break so weary in my spirit that I didn't know if I could go on. But he shall renew you with, hallelujah. Shut in with God in a secret place, there in the beauty beholding his face, finding more power to run in the race, I long to be shut in with God. I want those of you who need prayer tonight, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, whatever the need might be, I want you to come. I want you to step into that aisle, and I want you to come in faith believing. I believe there's enough of the power of God in this room. I know that there are, we got so many marvelous prayer warriors in this church. The one thing I cherish most as I travel is people come to me and say to me this, Brother Trask, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. I said, keep on praying. Because prayer keeps the power of hell at bay. Prayer keeps the powers of darkness at a distance. And it keeps God at our disposal. So those of you who need prayer tonight, I want you to step out and I want you to come. Just stand around the front of this altar. We got a host of preachers here, men and women of God that know how to touch God. They're going to come and they're going to lay hands on you. And the Bible says, and they shall lay hands on the sick and pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord shall raise them up. Hallelujah. I believe if we'll do what he's told us to do, he'll do what he said he would do. Amen. So sing it with me together. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit beholding his face. Giving us power to run in the race. I long to be shut in with God. I need some of you preachers. I want you pastors and ministers and leaders. I want you to move up from where you are. And I want you to come and I want you to lay hands upon these. There's some oil up here on the floor. I want you to pray in faith. If you feel led of the Lord to ask them what their need is, you go ahead. But I want you, and don't stop praying until you know that you've touched God on their behalf. Let's believe God for the miraculous. Hallelujah. We prayed in the name of Jesus. We pray.